This is CliffCentral.com.
He makes one last plea to the female. But she's got no time for losers. Defeated and humiliated, he's left out in the cold. He'll lick his wounds and move on. In a colony of nearly a quarter of a million, there are plenty more fish in the sea.
Well, see, that's the conclusion, basically, of that penguin story. He gets absolutely beaten towards the end. He goes back for seconds, right? He should have probably just cut his losses after the first little shindig. And he gets properly beaten. And it's like, nobody likes losers.
Yeah, well, that's the truth of life, isn't it?
But then, so the sad part is that he tries to walk away all smooth, right? So he jumps over this little branch and then trips.
And then he trips and falls. Shame. No, he had a really bad day. Wow. And then I saw very quickly after the fact a Mrs. Penguin Twitter account was, of course, set up. And one of the tweets that she posted was, I see everyone's calling me a hoe, but they don't know my side of the story.
But they are. And this guy walks away and there's like a thousand other penguins. I mean, I'm not being specious and saying they all look the same, but I mean, the guy's going to, he's going to come right. It's going to be all right from there. Anyway, into our special guest for the day, it is Jared. Jared, I don't know how many times you've been here, but every time you are, it is such a highlight because you speak our language or entertainment. Jared, of course, is the deputy editor of TV Plus. This is a long-running publication. And Jared, you know more about TV than anybody, so it's always nice to have, you know, the specialist, the expert, the one, the only.
Oh,
basically, I use all those words because I haven't got Gareth's intro music.
So early to be blushing so much.
Can I just admit something up front? Because when I used to work for U Magazine, it's in the exact same building as TV Plus Magazine. So I would see Jared every day at work.
Yeah, you kind of have to walk past TV Plus to get to you and Hazelnut.
And there were so many times where I would walk past your desks and you guys would literally be sitting watching series on your laptop. and I think to myself, but this is the best job in the world.
Uh-huh.
You come into work, you set up your laptop at your desk, you watch hours and hours of entertainment, and then, like, that is part of your work. That is part of your job description. Or am I wrong?
It's not officially in my KPI.
Okay.
But if you're not watching TV at work, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah, quite understanding what's going on. I mean, it's like being in a sports magazine, and you're not quite watching what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm always watching sport while I'm here. I'm a professional like that.
Yeah.
And if you guys noticed.
This is true.
Maybe we also do it a little bit at work more just to make some of the other people a little bit jealous.
Oh, yeah, no, we definitely got jealous.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know it worked.
So, Jared, I've got a theory right now that the best TV show ratings, everything is the election run-in. I reckon this is trumping TV numbers everywhere right now. Sorry, I didn't mean that you would use the word trumping.
I was just going to point out that.
That's a very unfortunate pun there. Is this something that ever like affects TV shows, or people will generally always watch their favorites? News doesn't really get into it too much.
Actually, the election debates were not that highly rated in America. The first one did very well, but it still doesn't trump the big hitters, which is American football, always. Big Bang Theory, The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones. Well, Game of Thrones not on currently, but the Americans are watching the election debate, but they're watching their favorite series more.
So getting on to, I tried to watch Big Bang Theory the other day because it's still going, right?
Season 10 and renewed for an 11th season, so we will be seeing a lot more of that show.
See, from my outward point of view, I watched season 1, 2, 3, whatever, but now Penny's no longer hot. Those geeky guys I mean, come on, they've plateaued quite a lot there because they've just become, you can only go so far with the character. Do you reckon the show's still got some life in it, seeing as you're a bit more objective than I am?
Yeah, for me it's starting to get a little long in the tooth, but I must be in the wrong because the ratings say otherwise. So the audience is coming back again and again and going, we just love this. And there's something about The Big Bang Theory that I think because it's so familiar, people want to keep coming back to it, where there's a whole bunch of shows that come in, they don't last very long, they get cancelled after 13 episodes, and it happens a lot with sitcoms. So you want to invest in something that isn't going to get ripped out from underneath you.
Right.
And I think that is one of the reasons why Big Bang Theory is so popular.
Well, you also know that the show is doing well when it can afford to pay all its main cast members $1 million an episode,
yeah,
right? Isn't
yeah.
that the...
Well, that is the only sitcom that is able to do that in America.
I mean...
There's only one that can do that. And Chuck Lorre, who is the creator of that show, has had lots of other sitcoms. So there's Mike and Molly, which just went off air.
Yes.
But Mom, for example, which I think is genius and is coming back for a fourth season here on the weekend... They're not earning $1 million, and I think Allison Janney and Anna Faris deserve $1 million per episode. They're brilliant in that sitcom.
Yeah, but again, it's just the track record. So people, I mean, I know where I look at TV, you have your staples, you have your ones you keep coming back for, and then you try the other ones. What are the ones recently that have come out that have sort of stuck that might actually have some longevity?
There's a few, actually. I made a bit of a list. Because there are, at the moment, so many TV series, it's almost impossible to keep track of everything. That's why I have to watch TV at work.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
No, you are
dedicated at work.
No, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a drama series called This Is Us.
All right.
Anyone heard of that one?
Not yet.
It doesn't look as if it's coming to South Africa anytime soon. It's teary. They're going for that part of Grey's Anatomy where you're supposed to bawl your eyes out every episode.
Mm-hmm.
They're going for that. So it's a little melodramatic, but with heart. It's a family drama, and there's one or two light touches. It's just been given a full season order, so that means greenlit, doing well, will stick around. A sitcom called Great Indoors has a lot of buzz to it. Joel McHale.
Okay, yeah, he was from The Soup, and then he was on Community.
Correct, yeah. So he plays... What they're doing with this one is they're trying to get these millennials that everybody in the TV industry thinks, okay, we must make a TV show for millennials, but let's make a TV show for millennials about millennials. So it's possibly a little bit too kind of self-referential. It may not work, but let's see how it goes. The gist of it is he's this kind of Bear Grylls adventure-y type dude, and there's a magazine that is... called The Great Indoors. He works in the office now with all these young millennials and Stephen Fry, who is the publisher and who is always funny, and a lot of millennial type jokes, but you're poking fun directly at the millennials. So we'll see how that one goes.
We'll see how the millennials
will they take to it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see if the Exorcist TV series is going to stick, because I think it's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Anyone watch that?
No. Is it scary?
It's not scary. No one's
gory?
Head has turned all the way around yet.
Okay.
We've had a little bit of head turning, but not 360. It's not gory. It's creepy. And there's a really nice twist at the beginning because... Ooh, I don't know if I should say this.
No, say it.
I'm going to say it anyway. The person who you think is possessed, it's actually not that person. It's someone else. So there's a really... So it starts off with a great twist.
But you don't have
suck
to...
Suck at me in quite quickly.
You don't have to go into it knowing the movies, like, well...
Not at all. I've not actually watched any of the...
That's the real plus,
movies. And Gina Davis is in that. And Gina Davis is great. Good actress. Like what she's doing. Lethal Weapon. There's a reboot of the Lethal Weapon movies as a TV series. It's on Mnet currently.
Yes. Now, this is an interesting thing. There's a lot of this remaking of stuff, either a remake of movies or a series that you enjoyed as a child. Seems to be working, though, or not?
It depends. So the MacGyver reboot, a success.
Okay.
And we'll get that from, I think it's Mnet's bringing it, I believe, in January.
That was the one show I always thought that must come back because of the gadgets and all the other intricacies.
And you've got that in the TV series. In the reboot, it works well. Lethal Weapon.
Is there a mullet, though?
No. They had one, actually. They filmed the pilot with dodgy hair on the guy who plays MacGyver, and then it tested very badly.
Yes.
So they had to reshoot the thing.
Yes, no, I'm
and re-edited and all of that, and they've come back, and he's got nice, normal hair.
Yeah, I'm glad it tested badly, because, I mean, you're not... This isn't the 80s. This is 2016, right? So
we need a mullet-free zone.
I mean, you want MacGyver's gadgets now to be on par with the kind of technology that we're using today, because they could really play around a lot with that.
Yeah, that's what you've got in the MacGyver reboot.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
But that's a good reboot. I was watching just some background in TV the other weekend, and the AT movie was on. And I was thinking, like, they should reboot that series as well.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Completely.
I would totally watch that. That seems really cool. I'd love a Gummy Bears reboot, but as a live action, because you can make that now.
there are a lot of good animated series, Family Guy, Rick and Morty. I mean, just because, you know, it's animation doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be of adult content.
Exactly. Gummy Bears can come back in a whole new thing.
Definitely. They could.
It would be really cool. I think Disney has so much money, they can reboot anything and probably wouldn't affect their coffers at all.
Exactly. And theme tune alone, people will watch it because it gets into your head and then you don't.
Exactly.
That's it. That's so Gummy Bears theme tune was like the youth of everyone.
Okay, but you were asking about reboots. Here's one that has not worked. Cruel Intentions.
Ah, okay, because that was a good movie, and then they made sequels where they had no money for actual cast, so they just had, like, these other flimsy characters.
Random people you'd never heard of playing the role.
Is the TV show kind of like the sequels, then?
The TV show didn't even get made. Ooh. That's how disastrous it went. So they got Sarah Michelle Gellar back on board to play the original role, and that alone would have been enough, probably, to make it work. It's the same characters set in the future, and then it's the kids of those original characters. Reese Witherspoon's character would have been recast. So Reese Witherspoon said no to the TV show, but Sarah Michelle Gellar said yes. I don't know if they filmed the pilot, but I think it was NBC said, all right, cool, we're going to make this show, we're excited, we're going to really invest in this one. And then they went, hang on, we've got no space to air the thing. We've got too many new shows.
Oh, wow.
Which is a genuine problem if you're not Netflix or Showmax, because you do have a finite space to put stuff into. And you want to give a show like that a good slot. You don't want to stick it on at midnight, for example.
Yeah.
You don't want to air it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It needs to air primetime TV.
Mm.
Otherwise, it will not work. And then I said, okay, we're going to delay, maybe 2017. And now they've gone, sorry, guys, we're passing completely.
Oh, dear.
And they pay money for that. You have to pay the cast. So Sarah Michelle Gellar doesn't come cheap. You've got to give her money, probably quite a lot, in order to retain her. So you put her, you lock her into some kind of a contract
because
so she doesn't leave.
So because you're essentially stopping her from accepting other work opportunities should it come.
Yeah, basically. So you're paying for her, then you pay a penalty, essentially. So you keep her because we're going to delay the Cruel Intentions reboot. So we want her to basically not do any other work until like next year. And then we go, we're firing you.
Okay,
so they threw good money after. And now that money is gone,
so
there's no TV series for us.
So she essentially laughed all the way to the bank because she got paid for work that she didn't end up having to do.
Yeah, she had to do a little bit of promotion to announce the launch of the show, and that was it.
Still,
money for jam.
It's not great ego-wise. No, this is probably a big TV comeback. She hasn't done much in a while.
No, she hasn't.
That's true. Yeah, a couple of horror movies, but that's it.
Which would explain why she accepted and Reese Witherspoon said no, because you know, Reese has had a good run.
Yes.
Yeah,
Reese does not need to do TV.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't need to do anything. But now, okay, so here's my question, because, and I don't know how much, you know, in terms of process and procedure, you know about what it takes to put a show onto television.
Mm.
I mean, the whole thing of getting it approved, and then you've got to, like, film a pilot, and then that's got to work, and then it's got to be tested on an audience, and. How much do you know about that whole process in terms of getting a show onto television successfully?
It's massively complicated. It actually depends. Some channels or some networks or some shows get what they call a series commitment. Some get a pilot commitment. Some they just sort of shoot in the dark. So in some cases, the channel will say, okay, we want this. We think it could work. Let's film a pilot. So Carol Burnett, who is a TV comedy legend, is filming a pilot with Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler won't be in the show, but she's executive producing this. And that is a massive comeback to TV for Carol Burnett. So they're going to film the pilot. Then they're going to see. They'll watch it. They'll edit it. They'll say, all right, is this worth a TV series? Will people dig this thing? Or will they go, no, that's awful? And then if they go, yeah, it could work, they'll film it. So that's how it'll work there. But sometimes you might go, all right, Carol Burnett is actually such a big star. Amy Poehler is such a big star. We don't need to form a pilot. We'll just make all 13 episodes, or all 22 episodes of this thing, and we'll just send it out there and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
It does depend. It's risky.
It's so stressful, yeah.
It's completely risky either way, because what's happening overseas is there's more and more people that are watching Netflix as opposed to sitting down in front of the TV and watching your main channels, your Fox, your CBS, your ABC, or in South Africa, your SABC, ETV, Mnet, etc. There are less people doing that. There's more people going, I want on-demand TV, so I don't want to wait for anything.
Mm.
So Woody Allen makes his first ever TV series. First ever. You'd think people would be falling over themselves to buy that TV series, right?
Yeah.
It's on Amazon, which means it's streaming. He doesn't go for traditional TV at all.
Which definitely helps a platform like Amazon, because they know this, and they know this is going to be the future.
Yeah. And it's happening, and it's happening in a big way now.
All right, well, Jared's got a list here. Mabs and I are compiling our little list of things to do. If you want to get involved in the conversation too, I see some messages coming through of shows you want to talk about. Give it a go. Give us a thought, and then Jared can give you the rundown. And also just maybe if it's going to last or if it's not. So we're going to just catch up with another song here. The cricket score currently is 308 for 8. And when we come back, we're going to get into some more focus talks. So I want to talk about Walking Dead.
Yes.
I want to talk about Westworld. Yes. It's just so much. Catch up after this. That's Jeremiah featuring lots of other people with the song called London. Speaking of international places, Gareth is away in New York. He'll be in a plane right now, so he'll get there probably later on today. You'll hear his lovely voice tomorrow, Michael. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So he's gone there for the elections, and he's doing a whole bunch of other stuff, which he'll tell you about tomorrow. So, yeah, just today, you're going to have to just put up without Gareth. I know some people base their lives around listening to that man every morning.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. It's his show. Fair enough.
Sure, look, he'll be back tomorrow, like you said.
But hey, let's not worry about what's not going on. Let's worry about what is going on right now. Jared Orland's here. He's the deputy editor of TV Plus magazine. So, Jared, before we went to that song, we talked about some of the big shows that are making a lot of... Well, people are talking about Westworld has been something that's popped up.
Ah, amazing series.
It's like one of those shows that people don't just watch, they love and they're into. Is this something that's grabbed you as well?
Completely. Very obsessed with Westworld. The only trouble I have with it is that the episodes are so long. I would have liked them almost to have broken them up into shorter episodes and made the season run a little bit longer, because there'll only be 10 episodes. Okay. I'm sure we'll get a second season, but...
What is the premise of this show? What's going on in the show?
Oh, it's so cool. Okay, so Westworld is a Western-themed park, but this thing is set in the future where you pay, as a guest, tons of money to come to this park, and you can do whatever you like with / to the park attractions, who are people, but they are robots.
Okay.
But they're very lifelike looking robots, so you can do whatever you want with them. Right? You see where I'm going with that. Mm-hmm. You can shoot them, you can take them into the barn and have your way with them, you can hire them for an hour, you
human
can hire...
Human nature is finest, huh?
Yeah, it's absolute hedonism.
Okay.
But the robots, the androids, are starting to get a little bit of sentience. So they wipe their memory at the end of every day. So one of the characters, played by Evan Rachel Wood, she gets sexually assaulted quite a bit. And they wipe her memory. What's starting to happen, where it gets really interesting, is that the robots are starting to remember.
Oh.
They're starting to get sentient.
So are we likely working ourselves up to a point where the robots are going to turn on the humans?
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting for.
Okay.
We're waiting for like a Game of Thrones battle.
Okay.
Well,
sounds good.
There seems to be quite a lot of orgy scenes as well.
Yep, there's that.
So this is basically taking all the big shows from like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Spartacus, all that kind of stuff, throwing into one big...
Look, sex is...
Sensual fest.
Sex is a big selling point for getting people to watch series, though, isn't it? I mean, let's be fair. It's a big selling point.
Yeah, because people don't want to have to go through the whole rigmarole of doing porn and feeling a bit dodgy about it. But if they can watch a TV show, it's like legitimizing what they want to do.
Yeah.
Just show a little bit of flesh. Get more eyeballs. More people talk about it.
Exactly.
It's a talk about kind of TV culture. So you chat to your friends, you go, oh my gosh, Stranger Things is the most amazing Netflix show I've ever seen ever. You have to watch it. And that word of mouth is what made Stranger Things such a phenomenon. So you need to, in order to compete, because there are so many TV shows, you have to have something for people to talk about. So, you know, an orgy scene probably will do that.
Okay, yeah.
Also, people will want... You don't see the word orgy often nowadays, unless it is something very graphic. So there we go, TV ratings. Go have a look at that. Just going through some of the messages. Going back to some of those reboots. What about Beverly Hills Cop? That would be a fantastic TV series,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, could work. Why do all the reboots have to be 80s TV shows? And why do they all have to be cop series?
Because
that's the thing that's worrying me.
Because what else? You're not going to reboot the Golden Girls. Come on. There's certain things that just work.
Friend.
Oh, gosh. I hope they don't reboot that one. Too many cop shows for me. There are already so many cop shows. How do you make another cop show that is not... like anything else that's out there? It's a bit tough, you know.
Okay, well then how would you reboot Airwolf?
I wouldn't. I didn't like Airwolf enough. I mean, I watched a couple of episodes. The helicopters are cool, but, you know.
Because you can't exactly... I mean, they tried to reboot Knight Rider, right?
Yeah, oof, that was bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the one with the car, right?
You get one chance at this stuff as well. You get one chance. So MacGyver, there's massive pressure on MacGyver being a hit because you can't then do it again.
Yeah, and big money thrown into these series. Mm. Big money. The other thing that they like is prequels. So there's the Taken movies. There is a prequel series coming next year. And I think that'll probably do really, really, really well. So it's that character, whatever his name was, that Liam Neeson played.
Yes.
It's how...
It was his dad most of the time.
Yeah.
Because it was always his daughter going, Dad,
save me.
I've been taken again.
How many times?
Three times.
Yeah, really. How does that happen? So it's how he became that dude that, you know... kind of kicks butt and gets rid of kidnappers.
Okay, that would be interesting. Also, the right casting for these remakes, hugely important, because a lot of people, when they watch, you know, something like a Lethal Weapon or whatever, they're obviously getting flashbacks to the original actors and characters, and so casting the right guys in the remake is also very critical. I mean, it can 100%. Easily be a make-or-break situation.
I think they did it really well with Lethal Weapon. I think... they got the casting down perfectly. Where a good example of a remake that is an absolute disaster with casting is the Rocky Horror Picture Show remake. Has anyone seen that?
I have
that?
Not no, seen it, but I have heard of it.
It. No.
It's also one of those things that because it was such an iconic movie and it was so off the ball, it has to, you're right, it has to be just spot on.
So here's where you know it's a disaster. They got the guy who directed High School Musical.
Huh.
To direct the Rocky Horror Picture Show remake. Mubs' face is going, what the?
Horrified.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's perky. It's Disney. It's like, you're like, happy, happy, rah, rah. The Rocky Horror Picture Show original is dark. It's gothic. It was absolutely shocking in its day. There's nothing, it's fluffy. This remake, it's really, really bad. Even Adam Lambert, who does Meatloaf, is bad. I've never seen Adam Lambert do anything badly, and that part is singing all the way. There's no acting whatsoever. All you do is you come on, you sing one song, and then you get hacked to death. Even that was not good.
Okay.
It's really that's a remake gone horribly wrong.
But Jared, who really gets to decide whether or not a show is bad, which subsequently leads to it being pulled off air? Is it the critics writing about the show? Is it ratings figures not being high enough? Is it network execs?
It's a good point. So it all boils down to numbers. There's a sitcom in America that's just launched called American Housewife. The critics have panned this thing. They've said it's terrible. But the ratings are good. Mm. The ratings are solid. The show is just... given an extended run to, I think it's like 22 episodes. So if your ratings are good and your financials are good, so ratings are good, advertisers will then pay to be on the show and your budgets work out and you're making money off of the thing, they won't cancel it, even if every single TV critic in the world says this thing is terrible. If people are watching it and that's what counts, then they'll keep that show going. Yeah. Doesn't matter. And that's why you get certain shows like Breaking Bad took a while for people to find the thing because the critics were going, this is amazing. Why aren't you watching this? And then by like season three, everybody had found Breaking Bad. And from there, the run was just insane.
Well, speaking about Breaking Bad, and you mentioned prequels, there's I love theories because on the show we come up with so many of them. Yeah. And there's a theory that's going around.
I know.
Breaking Bad essentially could be a prequel to The Walking Dead.
I love this theory.
And I'm going to play this for you, probably in its entirety, because it's quite long, but bear with me. Just like Breaking Bad, the series. Bear with me, and we get into this. Because there's a couple of like little links here that are very, very interesting.
Breaking Bad is one of the greatest TV shows of all time because it tells a simple story with big stakes. What if Breaking Bad was about more than Walter White starting as a bumbling chemistry teacher and turning himself into a full-fledged monster? What if he turned everyone into full-fledged monsters? What if Walter White's Blue Sky Meth started the zombie epidemic of an all-time great show, The Walking Dead? For sure, this is an ambitious claim, but the theory points to a few smoking guns that are pretty compelling when you put them together. Let's start simple by connecting Walter White to The Walking Dead. In episode 2 of The Walking Dead, we see Merle's hidden stash of drugs. It conspicuously showcases Blue Sky Meth, the unique drug that turned Walter White into Heisenberg. Perhaps The Walking Dead takes place in a post-apocalyptic version of Walter White's world. Now for the Dodge. Red with black racing stripes. Remember it from Breaking Bad? In Season 4, Episode 2, Walter White buys it for his son, Walt Jr., specifically because it's distinct. But wait, do you also remember it from The Walking Dead? Look all the way back to the second episode. This is the same car that Glenn steals. Why would Glenn be so eager to drive it in Episode 2 of The Walking Dead? Breaking Bad has our answer. When Walt returns this Dodge after getting in an argument with Skyler, an employee named Glenn tells him there will be a restocking fee. Walt instead decides to blow up the car. Maybe car lot Glenn managed to survive the zombie outbreak and become Glenn from The Walking Dead. Maybe he never got over the look of defeat on Walt's face as he tried to return the car. And in Season 1, Episode 2 of The Walking Dead, when we see Glenn celebrating as he drives the red Dodge Challenger, maybe he's not just glad to escape zombies, maybe he's celebrating coming full circle from his days as a lowly car lot attendant. So we have a character from The Walking Dead, Glenn on Breaking Bad. We'd really be cooking if we could show a character from Breaking Bad crossing over into The Walking Dead. And Daryl gives us exactly that when he starts talking about Merle's old drug supplier. A janky little white guy who Daryl quotes as saying, "I'm going to kill you, bitch." Maybe Daryl is describing everyone's favorite janky little white guy, Jesse Pinkman, which could explain how Merle got his hands on a bag of Blue Sky meth. But what about the elephant in the room here? Zombies. Does the canon of Breaking Bad ever suggest that the zombies could exist? If you stretch for it, yes. Gus Fring, who literally ended his run on Breaking Bad by literally walking dead. The theory suggests that Walter's production of blue meth would be getting less controlled, more reckless, and more risky as he feuded with Gus Fring, as Gus secretly could have taken some Blue Sky before facing his mortal enemy, Tio Salamanca. Gus took the first batch of zombie-creating Blue Sky, and when the bomb exploded, boom, the very first zombie, Gus Fring. This theory is absolutely a stretch because it requires us to invent moments, motives, and scenes we don't see on screen to make it plausible. But they are reasonable add-ons, and these are impressive connections at the very least. So on believability, we give this a 5 out of 10, but on an entertainment level, we'll give it a 9 out of 10 because connecting two of the best shows ever made adds a layer of wonder that is worth the stretches.
Let us know
what you think in the comments below, and be sure to share any theories you'd like us to review in the future.
So the whole thing about Breaking Bad, it was like real life, and it was really, really well shot. So to get into that whole thing of zombies, because we all believe that zombies will happen somewhere along the line, whether it's Mubs who just hates humans.
We all believe that?
Well, on this show we do. Okay.
On this show,
you have your zombie apocalypse kit
ready. Yes.
Okay.
And Ben is the one who protects all of us.
Yeah, I've assumed that role somehow, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, these TV shows become such big parts of our lives. That's why we have these fan theories and we start taking it quite seriously. So on the Breaking Bad though, I mean, Better Call Saul is a prequel.
Yes.
How's that been going? As far as do you see them merging at some stage?
Eventually they will. The ratings are good enough that they're keeping Better Call Saul going. Okay. I think that they will merge them. The question is whether they're going to be able to get Walter White and Jesse Pinkman to Better Call Saul. Because those are particularly the guy who plays Walter White. He's very, very in demand. And Bryan Cranston is probably booked up for a good couple of years. I suspect that these guys are really clever and they had a great relationship with AMC, who's the guys that make Breaking Bad. That they're starting those conversations. There's no way they're going to go, "Oh, well, we'll just wait and see if they're available." They have a plan. It's been discussed with the actors. They're booking them if they can get them.
Because the whole thing about if Better Call Saul plateaus a bit, people are going to go, "Well, look, unless it's going to merge, I'm out." Because they have to kind of close that loop in this essential ratings.
That's the takeaway. You're watching Better Call Saul for the timelines to merge.
Whether
you know it or not, that's what you're doing. Like, we watch Bates Motel because we are waiting for that shower scene. We're waiting for Norman to go pure psycho and kill the mom.
Oh my God.
What we're waiting for.
Oh, that show leaves me feeling so uneasy.
Yeah.
Bates Motel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a creepy kid.
I love that show.
Okay, so we have to talk about Walking Dead because Gareth said he's not going to watch it anymore because it's too violent. It obviously started with a huge bang. Just to kind of bring up to speed, Mubs, you didn't watch the previous season, but it ends basically they get rounded up by these ruffians.
Yeah.
And one of them's going to die, essentially.
Yeah.
This guy's got a big bat in his hand. He doesn't look like someone you should trifle with. And that's how it ends.
Well, not only does he have a baseball bat, but it's wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
And he's given it a name.
But I think at this point we can talk about that first episode, right? Like it's
Totally. Yeah. It's been time.
Yeah, we're three episodes in. So he's named the bat Lucille, which means he loves to swing it and bash people's heads in.
Mm. So
and he goes eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah.
Down a line of all our favorite, pretty much all the favorite Walking Dead characters.
So who gets it?
That's you.
No. This is just all with you because now we're talking about violence. Who gets it's not important at this stage, Mavs.
Oh, okay.
Because you want to watch it, right?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm a whole season behind. I'm not going to be able to catch up.
Did it have to start like this because of where the story is, or does it have to start like this because it was about getting the hype? Which do you reckon it was the two?
They've said that the way that they did things was in order to elevate the story. Because if they'd done the obvious thing, the episode starts with not the killing. They make you wait quite a bit before you find out. And people have been waiting months to find out who gets the bat. So they made us wait even longer. And people were furious. I think people were furious about who got the bat because we had to wait to find out. I think that's part of it. And people were so annoyed. And they were annoyed because they got surprised, because they offed a second person.
Oh.
In a surprise move that no one saw coming.
Oh, okay.
But they had to do that, because the thing about The Walking Dead, go back, watch season one now, and look at where things are in season seven. The guys at The Walking Dead have elevated the show. Every season, they've made it bigger, they've made it better, they've made it bolder, they've made it more gory, more violent, different kinds of zombies. And that's why you keep coming back, because you know that it's not going to be, same old, this show's getting, we're talking about Big Bang Theory, maybe getting a bit boring now.
Yeah,
The Walking Dead is never boring. Okay, maybe season six was a little bit boring, but that was the pacing of the show that was a little bit slow. But you know that you're going to get a show that's massively entertaining and will surprise and shock you because they keep upping the ante. If they didn't do that, people would have complained about something else.
How much do we know about how far ahead into the project these shows are working? So we're currently watching season seven now.
Yeah.
Does that mean that the writers have already started writing season eight? When will actors likely start filming? I mean, how much do we know about the, you know, how
it's a good question. They've renewed The Walking Dead for an eighth season.
Okay. So immediately after they renew it, then the writers know, okay, we need to get straight back into work. Like we need to.
Sort of. It'll depend. You probably have writing teams.
Yeah.
So The Walking Dead, they split that show down the middle. So we've started in roundabout, it's October where you start the season. Then they take a break and they come back in, I think it's about March or so. I'm not 100% sure, but they split it across quite a long period. And they don't always film the whole thing in one shot. So the actors have to run up and down as well as the cast and crew. So it is quite a tricky one to film. They would probably be thinking about season eight. They'd know where they're going with season eight. They'll know what they want to do. But they wouldn't necessarily be scripting and filming it at this point.
Okay.
It's okay, too early.
The Walking Dead is still going to walk on here, even with so many deaths. But like that's the whole thing. You said about breaking sort of Big Bang Theory. That will kind of grow. The storyline will evolve. The characters, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when you get married, you have babies and all of that
life
kind of stuff.
Yeah. When you're The Walking Dead, like, you've got to create new and wonderful ways to actually shock people into going to the
and
next
And to kill level. People.
And
like, that's basically what you're doing. You're finding new ways to be disgusting.
So, you know, there was Gareth being actually very upset about how the show's going, but it kind of, there's no other path for the show. I think what they've done at the beginning of the season now
I agree completely.
Is pretty much all they could do. And if you're invested to this point, it couldn't be that much of a surprise either.
I thought that there would be a second person being killed. That to me made a lot of sense, that they weren't just going, because we all knew that it was that somebody was going to be killed. And knowing The Walking Dead and being a big fan means that it's not going to be the obvious. So it that's how it is. So the fact that it was then the first person that got the bat, I was like, oh, okay, that's not that exciting. Where's the next thing that's coming? And then it happened. And that was the shocker, because it was so incredibly violent and so incredibly shocking. also because that character is so beloved and had been there since the first season, so it was pretty gross to see his eye kind of like bulging out after being smacked very violently in the head. They don't hold back. Some TV shows would cut, so you would see the person, say, fall to their knees, or you would see the bat swinging. Walking Dead went all in, hey? They did not hold back. It's still, for me, not the most disgusting thing I've seen on The Walking Dead. For me, the most disgusting thing I've seen on that show is when the character of Noah was ripped apart inside the elevator, the turnstile.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't so good.
That was because grab his face, and can you imagine like taking a ripping like a plastic mask like from top to bottom at the same time? Mm. That's what they did to his face. That was, for me, that was more disgusting.
But I mean, what a difficult position to be in as the makers and creators of the show, because there's Jared and the rest of us sitting there going, but I need to see more. What next is coming? And then when they do give you more, some people just seemingly can't handle it. But they need to constantly keep shocking the audience.
No,
that's,
you know
what
I think
do.
People must actually just chill out a little bit. So, like, really? I mean, you guys know I love RuPaul's Drag Race. People are sending death threats
you
to drag
find a way of
queens.
This thing back,
I do, don't I?
Every
I'm just,
time.
Because I've got to find a way to convince you guys to watch the show. Okay. But people are just too mean about what they see on TV. People must chill the F out.
Yeah.
People are sending death threats to drag queens because somebody didn't want to hug somebody else goodbye after they got eliminated from the show. It's not normal, guys. If you don't know the person, you don't have an active involvement in their lives, don't be such a hater. Enjoy the show. Watch the show. Keep your nasty comments to yourself. Yeah. People are so mean online about TV shows. It's nuts. It should not be entertained. If I was The Walking Dead, I'd be going, they're talking about my show. I've done exactly what I set out to do. They can say they're not going to watch anymore, but so what? I don't care.
Yeah. We'll see that with Gareth. We'll get back into it.
Yeah, no.
He will.
Of course
you
will.
You're allowed a mourning period, but you're not allowed to say hateful things about TV shows and people who are on TV shows. They're playing a character.
Yeah,
it's not
real.
Yeah. Well, Jared, to wrap up, so what other shows should we be watching or at least considering at the moment?
Okay, so I know that you are a Downton Abbey fan,
yes,
so I've come with a three-step Downton Abbey withdrawal symptom plan for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There are three TV shows that you can watch that will hopefully fill the gap. One is Victoria. It's aired on ITV Choice in South Africa. It's
good channel, that, yeah.
Eight-part series that has been renewed for a second season. Is about Queen Victoria. Is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Tutankhamun, which is another ITV
mini-series,
four-part. It's about the discovery of King Tut's tomb, which was very interesting. A lot of politics that came into play between the explorers and the Egyptian government. It's starting on ITV Choice this week on Thursday night. Four-part miniseries. And then The Crown, which started on Netflix on Friday. It's about Queen Elizabeth. So lots of Queen-related series here, British period drama. Season. They're envisaging this as a six-season series to cover periods from her life when she first got married all the way through to where Queen Elizabeth is now.
Yeah.
And it should be very interesting because this is, I haven't watched it yet, The Crown is Netflix's most expensive TV series to date. More expensive than anything else they've made. More expensive than Orange is the New Black. More expensive than Kevin Spacey's salary for House of Cards.
Wow.
Well, just goes to show, all because of Downton. Downton started something, and
yeah,
they're all capitalizing on that now.
But where does all this money come from, Gareth, to fund these shows? I mean, where...
Netflix is mostly making money off subscriptions. Mm. So what Netflix has done, very clever, they launched all across the world, including South Africa,
yes,
quite recently. So whereas before they were only in like 3 or 4 territories,
yeah,
now they're in over 100 territories, which means more subscribers, which means more numbers, which means they can make more TV series. They've said their plan over the next couple of years is, can't remember what the percentage is, but it was crazy high, like 80% of original Netflix-only content. So these guys are pouring tons of money, tons and tons and tons of money into making their own series, which will then only be available on Netflix. It's not like Orange is the New Black, which they sold to a couple of channels. And they were doing that at the time when they were starting out.
Right.
But their model is, we make our own content, we will only broadcast our own content. And they're moving towards a kind of domination.
But sure. That's really good because, you know, it inspires you to actually do the legit thing and pay your subscription and do it. Like, you have no interest in paying your SABC TV's license because you're not going to get great series out of that.
Mm-mm.
But at least with Netflix, I mean, sign up, get it, and you could get better shows.
Yeah, if you like local content, then you're going to want to watch SABC and ETV. And
is there
really
left, though, Jared?
There's a lot of local content. There's a ton of local content. What trends in South Africa in terms of TV shows is local content. International stuff does not trend. Hardly ever.
Yeah.
The local shows, Idols, it's complicated. A lot of Zanzi Magic stuff is what's trending. But that also has to do with who's tweeting. The people who watch ITV Choice don't tweet.
Of course not.
Generally speaking. The people who watch some Zanzi Magic watch with a cell phone in hand.
Yes.
That's how they watch.
You've got a vent. Yeah,
you're encouraged, and a lot of reality shows encourage the conversation, whereas a British miniseries isn't going to slap hashtags up every 10 minutes, whereas reality shows put hashtags up. They're encouraging you to tweet.
It is. There you go. And then you feel connected as an audience person.
Exactly. It's
all
quite
right,
clever.
So let's, okay, so there's a lot of shows to look out for there. You're sort of top three. Top three out there.
What?
I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But wow. Westworld.
Right. Westworld is pretty good.
Could be one of them.
The current season of American Horror Story, Roanoke, is possibly the scariest thing I've seen on TV in a long time. And very clever.
Is
and
that
very
the one
interesting.
With Cuba Gooding Jr. in it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. See, again, a lot of what we're used to being movie stars doing a lot of television.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. There will be a Meryl Streep Netflix TV show next year.
Sure. Okay, then.
Wow, that is the ultimate sign of the transition.
That is definitely good.
That's when you know TV is the far better place to be than movies.
Yeah.
You make less money, but you can do better and more exciting things. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely with you on Westworld. I'm definitely going for American Horror Story. Desperately looking forward to another season of Stranger Things. I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay.
I think it's brilliant. I'm looking forward to Tutankhamun. And this TV show, This Is Us, that I mentioned earlier, is great. Lots of fun.
Okay, well, I don't know about you, Ben, but I've been taking notes as Jared was giving us shows to look out for. So
and then, of course, I must say is you need to get the latest issue of TV Plus because it's a quarterly preview. I'll leave you guys a copy each. But we've got right at the beginning of the magazine all the shows that are coming through in the next couple of months, plus everything that's happening on all the soaps between now and January.
Right, because we didn't have enough time for the local and the soaps, so you got to get to the TV Plus, and then that will wrap it all up. Jared, thanks so much for your time again.
Thanks, guys.
And if you are looking for Gareth, tomorrow he'll be on the line. He is currently flying towards America, so we'll be chatting to him, and he'll be back on the show tomorrow.
And tomorrow is November the 8th, so we definitely look forward to, you know, what the tone is like in New York where Gareth is, because, you know, a lot of Americans have a big decision to make.
Sure. Well, typical choice. But anyway, catch back tomorrow. Thanks for us today. Kat and Aria up next, and the Auto Trader Show, Auto Central. That'll be next up on Cliff Central as well. Catch you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.